The Koi Gig Pod on Off The Ball.
I remember on the way home distinctly talking to my dad, like on the way home, and saying like, geez, like Karen, like she's such a leader. She's so like, she'll just boss every drill, every match.
Subscribe to The Koi Gig Pod on the Off The Ball app now.
Zeba going on his own, he gets the try.
The Red 78.
We're both Munster people.
Whoever gets over the line, try from Munster.
Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
Hello and welcome to the Red 78. Rory O'Hagan from Off The Ball, joined by Munster legends Alan Quinlan and Fiona Hayes to discuss Munster's fifth win in a row. A dogged performance against Connacht. Maybe not the best game of rugby you're ever going to see, but a win is a win. Munster now have five in a row in the URC. We're going to talk about all that game. Going to pick our star of the week. Have a little look ahead to Munster in the Argentina 15 as well, and to Ireland against the All Blacks in Chicago as well this weekend. So plenty to discuss on the show today. Alan, Fiona, great pleasure as always to be in your company. How are you guys?
Good, but first, Rory, we have to say a huge congrats to you for doing the marathon on Sunday. Some man up in Dublin.
I have the medal here, look, just in case.
I knew he was going to bring it. I didn't bring my old Six Nations medal that I normally bring on nights out with me. Try and get a free point.
The best thing ever, lads, after the marathon was I was like staggering back to the car and I was just stretching out my hip and all I heard was, oh, well done, boy, congratulations. And I was like, thanks very much. And I looked and I was like, Shane Byrne? And I was like, what's Shane Byrne? I saw the mullet. Yeah. And then Davina mullet. My wife's like, when did you run after him and get a photograph? And I said, love, run after him. I can barely walk.
I can't move.
That was the highlight of my day.
Was it painful?
It was agony. My hamstring completely cramped 20 metres from the finish line, so I had to hobble over the finish line. I didn't quite have to crawl, but I just about got over the finish line. All that way, 26.2 miles, the hamstring cramped.
Is that your first one?
The second one, so a big PB, right. And the people in Dublin were just incredible. The atmosphere was incredible. It's just an incredible day. But never again. Like I said the last time, never again.
Go away, he's trying to enroll in the Limerick Marathon. Don't mind him.
Famous last words.
You can do the next one with me, lads.
I'd be found dead after 5 kilometres, I'd say.
Benny, how are you, sir?
I'm good, thanks. Yeah, very good.
Excellent stuff. It's been an interesting weekend, all right, for Munster as they picked up their fifth win in the URC. We'll get on to that shortly. Some comments reaching us. And firstly, a question for Fiona from Jack O'Sullivan. Jack says, I'd be interested to hear what Fiona thinks is Munster's best back three, five or six of them almost undroppable at the moment, Fiona is.
2 years in and I get my first question. I'm so excited. I can't believe it. We're lucky. Do you know, I remember chatting even last couple of years and we're talking about when Calvin's injured, when Shane Daly's injured, that we're in trouble at times. But just to see the form of some players, it is even Andrew Smith. Injury free though, I'll make it nice and quick. Injury free for me. I don't think any team cannot have Takir Abrahams at the minute. He's just so, so exciting to watch. And obviously I'd have Calvin on the other wing. And then right now, I think just in form, really clicking in games, I'd go with Shane Daly ahead of Haley in that back three. That'd be my in form back three at the minute that I'd love to see. I don't think, have the three of them played together yet? I don't think so. That they've started those three players together yet. But for me, that's the in-form back three. But then on the other hand, you could bring in all Andrew Smith or someone and change things up on the bench, independent. Very rare you'd bring a winger on the bench. But look, they're in such form that they might rock things as the season goes on and bring someone else on the bench to add a bit of oomph on the wing coming in.
So who's your back three?
Takir, Calvin, and I'd put Shane Daly in full-back. You, Quinny?
Is your question? I think Shane Daly and Calvin Nash have been fantastic and they're very experienced players now. And it's tricky. I think it's kind of horses for courses. I think Takir Abrahams is just phenomenal. It's so hard to leave him out of the team. And I know he got a head knock at the weekend. So he was a loss when he went on. His evasion is very good. I don't know is the answer, but I think Dermot Kilgallen is someone who I believe can go on and play for Ireland.
Okay.
He's had a lot of injuries since he's come down from Connacht and he's been very unfortunate, but I just think there's something about him that can go to the next level. So Loads of depth there. I think Shane Daly can obviously play an outside centre as well, maybe.
Right.
So there's actually a lot of back from centres right out to full back. There's loads of options there. And they've needed him in the last few weeks because I think one thing and another, a couple of them have been injured all the time. So it'll be hard to keep them happy when they're all fit. But maybe that'll never happen, that they'll be all fit at any point during the season. But yeah, I don't know. It's, as I said, Dermot Kilgallen is someone, if he's fit and raring to go, I think he starts. And then even you've, you know, Calvin Nash. It's next to impossible to pick it, really.
So more questions for Fiona, please, for next week's show. We'll get on to us on next week's episode. Or if you have some other comments reaching us as well.
Yeah, cheers again, guys, for sending in the comments. I'll read out a few here. So we've Phil Quinlan, a win is a win is a win. no medals yet, keep going. I love it. Mark Connolly, great start, 23 out of 25 points, secured, won two games. We could have easily lost Edinburgh Connacht, building nicely and beating Leinster is no harm either. Brian Laller says, some performance by that Jack O'Mahony lad, smiling face. Really coming into his own now as one of the best players and leaders. And finally, Cian McGibney, a seriously strong start, a statement win over Leinster in Dublin. Dan Kelly has hit the ground running along with Nankivell and Shane Daly. Big game versus the Stormers in late November. Yeah, that's going to be a cracker. Things still to work on, but Macmillan and his coaches will be happy so far.
Yeah, thanks for all your comments as always. Get them into us for next week's show and for Fiona's Question Corner as well. Alan Quinlan, this is not a game that's going to live long in the memory. It's job done. They got the win. Let's move on.
Yeah, I think so. It was difficult to watch at times. There was lots of mistakes. I did, like, I know from my own experience, and I probably use that quote a bit, my own experience, but that's all I can say. Obviously, you have your opinion on things, but my experience of sometimes when you play, you have a big massive performance like that, you, as the coaches, the players would love to go out and kick on and have a dominant performance at the weekend and be bouncing off the pitch, and I think there was a lot of relief there. The game could have went either way. I think Munster managed the tempo and controlled the game in the second half, but there was always a danger that Connacht could get that vital score, that penalty, that drop goal to win the game. And Munster kind of cutting it close to the bone there with that performance, to be honest. Now, look, it is an inter-pro, and Connacht themselves, you know, came with that fight, that determination, and, you know, they would have been on the off the back of disappointing Bulls loss, Cardiff loss. So, yeah, I think it was... I think Munster tactically were poor at times in the game. They kicked when they should have passed. They passed when they should have kicked. And they overplayed at times and tried to keep their attack game going. And it kind of malfunctioned or didn't function really. Obviously, the Jack O'Donoghue try in the first half was lovely score, and they exploited some space and they found some edges early on. Connacht adapted a little bit and started to defend a little bit better and spread across the field a bit more. So, yeah, JJ Hanran had a mixed bag at out half, very mixed bag. And I think they just lacked that bit of control and composure and made it difficult for themselves. But credit to Connacht as well, because they were very competitive. And I think both teams kind of forced a lot of mistakes. They both had 11 turnovers each. So, yeah, it was a frustrating one. And I think Munster, at times, there's a couple of lineouts that just didn't function at all. And it's an area that when they have these kind of performances, you can pick out some things like that. I think there's definitely, the stats say three lineouts lost, but it's more than that. And there was some very scrappy wins in the lineout. And that inhibits your attack as well and your ability to get going. So, from a Munster point of view, the result is on the back of the high the week before is definitely the most important thing. And there's over 40 players used now, I think, in these first five games. So everybody and many, many players, they've gone really deep into their squad. And to get 5 from 5, I don't think any of us would have picked that scenario at the start. I think the performances probably need a little bit more consistency, in a sense of, you can't replicate what you did in against Leinster every week. It's so hard to get that type of performance. But they were just seemed a different beast that day, and really switched on, really accurate in their line-out work. Their breakdown was sublime. And on Saturday night, it was sloppy again, those areas. And that kind of told. But I think Jack O'Donoghue summed it up after the game, saying, it was difficult to get that emotional pitch. We tried to, we spoke about it. But they couldn't, and they just kind of faltered a little bit at times, but found a way. And I think it was quite nervy because, Connacht going in at half time, leading the game, and Munster get one score in the second half, that try, and to win the game for them. So look, it's it was one of those games that you just want to be put in the bin, done and dusted. I'm sure they will have reviewed it. And look, it's a dogfight. I played in those interpro derbies, and maybe I'm a bit harsh there. They're difficult. Teams are ripping into each other. There's a competitive nature for 80 minutes non-stop. At the breakdown, their Connacht were very physical, and they made it difficult at times. And then they played some really good rugby as well. A couple of their tries were outstanding. For Paul Boyle's try, I think Andrea Piardi, he came to Thomond Park last year and made a horrendous decision again for Munster against the Bulls, and apologised afterwards. The URC apologised. I think his decision to give that try the other night was shambolic, to say the least. Because he's getting his messaging all wrong. He says it's held up. He calls held up on the try line, and if he's unsure there, he sh or thinks that possibly could be in a try, he shouldn't say held up. He clearly stated ball is held up. Then he goes to the TMO. The TMO said, well, he thinks the ball is on the ground. It either is or it isn't. And if there's uncertainty there, and the decision that the referee, the on-field decision, is it's held up. But then Piardi changed. He changed then to say, when he went to the TMO, say, actually, I don't have a decision. I don't know what's happened here. Is it a try or not a try? There's no on-field decision. So you can't go for making an on-field decision unless he says, look, I jumped the gun a bit there. I said it's it look I when I got to see it, it's held up, but I don't know what. Like, you can't have it two ways. It's either held up or he thinks, look, I've no decision. It could have been a try. So he got that part of it wrong, and then the TMO says, well, the ball is down, and Andrea Piardi basically says, oh, it was definitely over the line when it went down. How can very very confusing kind of way of describing it. And if Munster lost the game, it's not good enough really to have that scenario. It's either held up in simple terms, and it's difficult for the referees, and he is a good referee, but being indecisive there, it's either held up or it's not held up. First of all, if it's not held up, he just goes straight to the TMO and say, can you find a grounding for me, try or not try? If the referee, if the TMO can't see a grounding over the line, it's no try. Like, it looked like even in the in the vision that it's short, and we're not even sure if the ball is fully on the ground. So yeah, I think that was a very strange decision. But yeah, Munster were fortunate. Let's not hide away from it. I think there would have been big relief in the dressing room afterwards. They did manage the game well in the second half, and they did start to win collisions. They had over 350 post-contact meters. They had more possession, more territory, and that's what got them the result in the end, because they had a lot of territory in that second half, and they pinned Connacht back into their own half. But yeah, look, it's a great start. And as some of the people who were messaging there, Munster fans, you meet them, and they would have taken your hand off at the start of this league to get 5 wins from 5. And if Munster can keep clawing away, they've got the Stormers next. Very difficult game. They're playing incredible rugby, the Stormers. They've built up really good momentum here. And then you jump into Europe and a couple of more interpros at Christmas. And so it's not that far away that you're kind of heading into January. And if you're up near the top of the table, and you've got a You keep a winning streak running. It's very hard to win every game. You know, there's going to be a loss or two along the way, but that's where they need to be, and that's where you puts you in a great position. Once you, if you're up near the top there, it's probably easier to maintain it and find results then as you go into the new year. So the tough part has been done, and credit to the players and to Clayton McMillan and the rest of the other coaches to get five results from five. And I think that's what would have been looked at and analysed after the weekend. That it was not their best performance, but they found a way to win. And I think, to be honest, I don't think, and I don't know what you think, Fiona.
Mm.
Were you nervous that Connacht could break away and get a try, or I was quite comfortable to think that Munster. It wasn't one of those ones where I was kind of, oh God, they're going to get a breakaway here. Now, of course, they're capable of, and they've some very dangerous players. But I kind of felt that, you know, it was a little bit risky at times, but I didn't feel like Munster were going to lose the game. But it's kind of cutting it close to the bone, isn't it, that you're kind of a couple of points up like that. And again, you know, not to be able to execute and kick on. They had opportunities near the end to get the bonus point win. They were turned over when they had a penalty into the corner. And that's probably frustrating because it was an extra point there for the taking.
Yeah. No, you're spot on, Quinnie. I was going to say, come in on that and say near the end, especially I think it was the last 4 minutes when Munster, they had a little bit of good game management there. They kicked it back, and I thought the defensive pressure to not let Connacht get up the pitch. Both kickers, I think, weren't having their best game. So unless there was a 22...
That's putting it politely, not having their best game.
But unless there was a kick kind of in front of the post or to the side of the post in front of the 22, I wasn't too nervous. But I have to say, I thought defensively in those to not give away a penalty, they done really, really well. I think in the game, was it 8 penalties Munster only gave away? So their discipline was quite good in the game. I thought Piardi was good at chatting to them around that area of the ruck as well. So I felt probably, yes, I was a little bit nervous, but I there was just something in the Munster performance that you said, we're going to get out of it and we're going to get that win. And then poor old Connacht, the same last week as well, they were about to ground out a win, but obviously that kick was from the touch line. They didn't get it. So you have to feel for them. I thought defensively Connacht were so, so good compared to what I'd seen the week before. They obviously worked really hard on defence all week, and Munster, for some strange reason, this time just couldn't break them down. If you look at the tries, yes, the Jack O'Donoghue, but the intercept try, I mean, that was from a Connacht attack. So I think Connacht, you have to give them credit, but certainly Munster were definitely flat. And as you said, Quinny, on the back of having a couple of losses coming to Thomond Park, I mean, Stuart Lancaster is the perfect guy to be able to get a team up for that, having lost their last couple of games at home as well. I think you could see from Connacht, there was a little bit more bite in their performance. Munster a little bit flat, but as people said last year, we would have lost that game. We would have lost the Edinburgh game. So there's something kind of exciting in the fact that we're not playing great at times and still be able to come out with those big wins.
And if you look at the way the game panned out, Munster had 11 offloads, and I think they were actually quite ambitious in the way they were trying to play, and I think maybe got a bit frustrated that it wasn't happening. And Connacht, as you said, defensively are now making it really difficult. When not that they've always kind of have an ability to do that, but if you're Stuart Lancaster, yes, you're going to try and stop Munster's flow, and they did that really well. But you know, 11 offloads. Lots of meters gained, 9 clean line breaks as opposed to Connacht's 2. You know, 26 defenders beaten. There's lots of good metrics in there, but it kind of died a death in the end with a mistake or an alignment issue or Connacht coming up with a big hit. They were shooting out of the line, making very strong defensive hits. Both sides kicked a lot. Munster 33, Connacht 31. There was a lot of poor kicks in there from both sides. A lot. So I think you talk about Munster's defence, and one positive I think that Munster have had, I think the Ralston try with Josh Ioane and that offload, that's something special. Yeah. That's unpicking a flat defence, really, and out of the blue. That was outstanding. And he has that ability, Ioane. But 16 tackles missed. they're not bad numbers, and they haven't been bad numbers for the last few weeks. And I think that's, obviously it's not the main reason, but it's a big part of why Munster have got these results. When you go back to Cardiff, Edinburgh, Leinster, obviously it was very obvious there. But at the weekend again, defensively, Munster were pretty sound, and they're making, you know, they're working hard, really hard for themselves. But yeah, it's all, but that's positive. And if they can sort out the little issues and get that flow and deal with the kind of pressure that the opposition are putting under them and be a little bit more composed at times, I think it bodes well for the rest of the season.
Well, that's it for part one of this week's episode of The Red 78. To listen to the full episode where we will name our star of the week, look ahead to Munster's clash with an Argentina 15 and look ahead to Ireland versus the All Blacks, you can become an Off The Ball member. Check out offtheball.com/join for all the details. You can become a member on the Off The Ball app, Apple, Spotify or YouTube for $9.99 a month.
The Red 78. Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
I'd like to think I know a lot.